strong and courageous, because you will be leading these people to inherit the land that I promised to give to their ancestors. Only be strong and very courageous to ensure that you obey all the instructions that my servant Moses gave you. Turn neither to the right nor to the left from it, so that you may succeed wherever you go. This set of instructions is not to cease being a part of your conversations. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to carry out everything that is written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed. I have commanded you, haven't I? Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever-loving Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to be in your presence, to invite the heavenly host to be part of this service. Let your spirit take total control and let lives be changed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, it's another great opportunity for me to share the word of God with you this morning. And I would like to talk about fear not. I will be with you. Fear not, I will be with you. When we look at the passage, we see that Joshua is commissioned to lead God's people. That's the first thing in that passage, that Moses has just passed away, and there was a new leader that had to be put in place to lead God's people. And so God decided to appoint Joshua to be the new leader of the nation of Israel. And he was given a specific assignment that he would lead the people to possess their inheritance. He would lead the people to cross the Jordan River in order to get their inheritance. In that same passage, God also admonishes Joshua to be strong and courageous, that this will be necessary for him as he goes forward. In verses 6, God admonishes Joshua, as we've seen in the text. It is important to note that in this short passage, God reminds Joshua three times to be strong and courageous. Why this emphasis on being strong and courageous? Putting the story in its biblical context can help give us some insights into why Joshua needed that pep talk from God. First, Joshua was already in his advanced age. He was above 80 years at that time. Second, he was succeeding a great man, greatly mourned by his people, and so he felt incapable of filling Moses' shoes. Here we detect evidence of humility in Joshua, which is essential for effective leadership. Thirdly, by being Moses' assistant for 40 years, he had come to realize how extremely difficult it was to lead the people. You know, at one point, God even threatened to separate himself from them, and they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, not being able to move over to the promised land, partly because they were people of little faith. So having been beside Moses for this length of time, he had come to realize that he was taking a very difficult assignment. People were very difficult to lead. Fourthly, Joshua was quite aware of the intimidating presence of the Canaanites who he must subdue to possess the promised land. But it is also against this backdrop that, looking at all the circumstances, his age, the fact that the people were very difficult to lead, the fact that he was going to cross over the Jordan difficulties and challenges. And God looked at Joshua and said, you are the man. You're going to be in charge. Let's look at those three instances where God is trying to invite Joshua to be courageous, to be strong, and trust that he will be with him. In the first instance that God is inviting Joshua to be strong, he is talking about the courage that he needs in order to conquer the land that he would need to divide to the people of Israel. In the second instance, he was referring to the courage required to keep the law of Moses, disregarding all the pressures to compromise. This is very important. He was going to conquer his people, and he was going to live among these people that had different ways of life. They had different ways of doing things. And it could be easy for the leader to compromise and start doing those things that people used to do. If you go to many African congregations around the United States, you would hear preachers telling Christians that, well, when you were praying to come to the United States, you fasted, you did everything that God wanted you to do, and once you have the opportunity to be in the United States, you have abandoned God. You have prioritized other things in place of God. And so these are some of the things that can be very challenging for Christians. And so God is reminding Joshua that for you to be successful, make sure that you meditate on my word, the instructions that were handed to you. Let it be the light on your path. Let it be the lamp on your feet to guide you. Be sure not to compromise. And in the third instance, when God is referring to being strong and courageous, God spoke of it in reference to it as a remedy for fear. Joshua also received assurance that God will be with him. You know, we all have challenges, we all have our fears. Every year in my school, we take our students to the lagoon. You know, if you're familiar with that. You know, growing up in Cameroon, we're not used to those rides and all those things. And the first year, I was able to overcome my fears, so let me try. And it did not go quite well. Came back and shared my experience with a few people and said, you know what, well, if you try the second time, you start liking it. So the second year, I decided to go. I did not like it. And so the third year, and all of these experiences were not fun for me, but they were fun for my colleagues, right, because they would just laugh at my misery. And I kept asking them, are you guys having fun? Is this exciting for you? They say, yeah, this is cool. I would ask my students, is this exciting for you? They say, yeah. And I looked at it, am I in a different world? And so some of those things like that, that has been one of those things I just decided, well, going to the lagoon and going on those scary rides is not for me. So I stay away from it. So we do have fears, and some of these fears are genuine. Some of the challenges we go through in life are genuine. We have the comforting assurance that our God is by our side every step of the way. Fear not, I will be with you. What lessons can we learn from this story? God gave the land to Israel, yet Israel had to arise, cross the river, and take possession of the land. So it is with salvation. It is a free gift. Yet, we cannot enjoy its benefits unless we accept it. We must exercise ourselves to reach out and take what God desires to give us. It says in that passage that every place you step on it, I will hand it over to you. So the people had a part in making sure that God's promise came to fruition in their lives. The second lesson we can also learn from this is that the path through the Jordan River did not usher them into an easy life. The entrance into the land marked the beginning of a difficult military campaign. Likewise, in Christian life, we do not sit idle and bask in blessings shining down from heaven. No, the Christian life is also a battle and unremitting struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Indeed, our chief defensive armor is the shield of faith, who prevail by holding fast to God's promise that He will always be with us. He promises to be with us every step of the way. We have to faithfully hold on to that promise. God invites us to be partners with Him in fulfilling His purpose for our lives. With a mere thought, God would have handed the promised land to the Israelites. He did not do that. Through this partnership, our victory is certain, not because of our ability, but because our God is great and faithful. Likewise, like Joshua, all we need is to trust in His word and faithfully respond to it. Periods of transitions are filled with lots of uncertainties, yet our God remains the same. Like Joshua, we must faithfully obey His call and take great care to meditate on and grow in His word, because these are supporting pillars that will ensure our victory. And need this reminder more often, because studying the word of God is not one of those things that I easily do. I prefer to watch TV, and I can sit behind the TV for hours upon hours. Sometimes I grumble as I do that, wondering why things are really happening the way they do. I wish that the amount of time that I spend watching TV was the same amount of time that I put to worshiping God, studying His word, and growing in it. As Christians, this is something that we need to do continually, because it provides food for the spirit, provides guidance on how we need to move on. An important thing that we can pay close attention to is that when people go through difficulties and those areas, things that are challenging, we as Christians always look up to God. 75 years ago, on June 6, 1944, the Allied forces facing the scourge of defeat by the Nazi Germany were able to rally their forces in order to try to stop that from happening. And in that moment, the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, went on national TV, invited people to stand together. Perhaps that passage reminds us about where our strength comes from when we go through difficulties. In that message, which is in the form of a prayer, he said, "Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. They will need thy blessings. Their road will be long and hard. For the enemy is strong. He may hurl back our forces. Success may not come with rushing speed. But we shall return again and again. And we know that by the grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. And, O Lord, give us faith. Give us faith indeed. Faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Thy will be done, Almighty God." If a civilian leader is capable of making this type of request, then it becomes even more important for us Christians that when we go through difficulties, it is a reminder for us to turn to our God and to put our trust in Him and be faithful, knowing that He who says He will always be with us will never fail. We serve a God who is never indifferent to the challenges that we face. He promised Joshua He will be with him all the way. That promise still holds true to us today. Before His ascension, Jesus Christ told His disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When this message was delivered to those disciples, some of them doubted it, but many of them also believed. And on Pentecost Day, which we celebrate today, a group of believers gathered in one place, knowing that God's promise was going to be fulfilled in their lives. And that day, the Holy Spirit descended upon them. They were filled with power. They spoke in different tongues. And with that power, they were able to go about bearing witness for God. The Holy Spirit is there to be our helper. The Holy Spirit is there to be our comforter. That when we go through difficulties, that Spirit will be there to guide us, to comfort us. Dear friends, we cannot do it on our own strength. The good news is that God loves us and is invested in our success. He is with us when we face the challenges and uncertainties of life. Fear not, I will be with you. The assurance of God's abiding presence is both an invitation to humility.